being here, braving the elements. I know that there are some churches in the area that canceled today, but we are glad that you're here. We certainly don't fault those that were afraid to come, but I'm glad that you were able to make it here under these icy conditions. I want to also just point out, in addition to the other opportunities that you heard, there is a Dinners for Nine that we are having here at Meadowbrook. This is something we've done in the past, and it's been received very well, and we thought we would do it again, and that is to have host homes open their home for a dinner with nine people, and everybody brings something to contribute to the meal. And you enjoy getting to know people and share good fellowship. I know sometimes it's intimidating to think about going to somebody's home. Maybe you don't know very well, but once that you get past that, it's always a great experience, and people leave glad that they came. So please take advantage and sign up in the foyer as well. My wife Sandy and I, along with Dave Lemons and Kay Lemons and CJ Sizemore and Gina McAllister, we're leaving for South Africa this Thursday on a missions trip there. Blessman Ministries is a ministry that we have supported faithfully, regularly here at Meadowbrook, and we're going to go and serve alongside those that are a part of the ministry there up in northern South Africa, north of Johannesburg. We're looking forward to that, and maybe one special occasion is going to be that Meals from the Heartland, which is based in Iowa. While we are there, they are going to be distributing, we actually are going to be distributing to children at that very time, the 100th millionth meal from Meals from the Heartland. And there's supposed to be a lot of media there as well to cover that. That will be just a bonus, a blessing, disguise for us. So if you could remember us in prayer, we certainly will appreciate that and look forward to coming back and being able to share with you our experience. Each year, as required by our church bylaws, we hold an annual business meeting. And that meeting is for membership as we take a look back at the previous year. And we look at the financials regarding the church and select deacon council members and consider any other pertinent matter. And that annual meeting is today with a soup lunch following the service. And I hope that you're able to attend. Certainly, if you're not a member, you are welcome to come as well. But on this day, it seems strategic for us to take a look back and reflect and celebrate the past, and also to consider concerns of the present and share our vision for the coming year. I think it was 12 days ago that President Donald Trump gave the State of the Union address. And it was that following Wednesday that our governor Bruce Rauner, gave the State of the State address. And so maybe we could call this the State of the Church address. But more appropriately, we'd like to call it Vision Sunday. As we look back 38 years ago, Meadowbrook Community Church was planted and got its start. So we're still relatively a young church. 18 years ago, Sandy and My family walked through the west door, which is now the double doors entering the children's, youth, and Christian education wing there. We entered those doors and became a part of this very special church family. 10 years ago, this June, we stepped out in faith and expanded the facility that we are worshiping in today. We prayed and believed this building would facilitate a greater opportunity for people to encounter God and enable us to pass on a spiritual legacy that will impact future generations. I realize that my family, along with many of you, are recipients of the vision, the foresight of those who were before us, who sacrificially gave of their time, their talent, and their treasure to establish the solid foundation for the ministry of here at Meadowbrook and what has been accomplished over these years and what we enjoy today. A great deal of ministry has happened through the work of God over its history. People have found Christ as their personal Savior. People have been baptized. People have served on numerous missions trips. People have been called into world missions. Missionaries and ministries worldwide and local have been supported. People have learned God's word and have grown in their faith. People have encountered the transforming power of the Holy Spirit. People have experienced healing and deliverance. Lifelong relationships have been formed. And in some cases, even a life mate has been found. A few softball games have been won and a few softball games have been lost. And certainly, tons of food have been consumed during church gatherings. Just as an interesting side note, we as a church staff, we go out to lunch once every month to just, we'll celebrate anybody's birthday of that month and we'll just be out. And we were trying to reflect and think back on how many different restaurants we've been at. Now we're talking, Stacy and myself and a few others have been here for several years here now, and we were listing on a napkin the places that we've been at, and we listed 65 different restaurants that we've been at here in the Champaign-Urbana area, so we're well-fed as well. But we can say here at Meadowbrook, with Samuel, thus far the Lord has helped us. The Lord has impacted the lives of many people through the ministry of Meadowbrook over the years. And we're reminded that Meadowbrook is not made up of bricks and mortar, but of wonderful, wonderful people redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We are the church. Let's just hear from a few Meadowbrook people for a moment.
Our fellowship.
I love the people here.
Our youth and children's ministries.
I love the family atmosphere here. The approachability of our leadership. Just a sense of family.
Whenever a need arises, they meet it.
Pastor John.
It just feels like you're at home.
The Sunday service and all that goes into it.
There are always ways that we can help.
Everyone's friendly and I just like seeing everyone that's here.
I just like how welcoming the people are.
Pastoral staff.
I like the friendliness of the people.
How accepting people are.
Meeting all the kind people that go here.
I love that it's so friendly.
Whether you've been here for years or it's your first Sunday, there's always going to be somebody smiling, shaking your hand when you walk in the door.
This past year, my grandparents started coming.
The summer games for Wednesdays.
Meeting my new pastor, Pastor John.
Boy, racking my brain, I would have to say Rockaway Beach.
When the bounce house ran out of air.
I really enjoyed the Christmas program with all the children.
Mission Sunday, but last year's was a little special because we got to do a song and kind of display all of the diversity that we have in languages.
I was encouraged to save over $200 to help Speed the Light missionaries who are in other countries who need vehicles.
Well, probably for me personally, the memorable thing was the sports camp that we have every year.
C'est la guérison miracle de notre frère André, Andrew, du cancer qu'il avait grâce à l'intervention de Dieu, et cela par le support spirituel des prières de toute la communauté Meadowbrook.
The mission trip to Missouri.
Kids Excel.
Our trip to Cambodia.
Getting to travel to Rockaway Beach, doing missions with my oldest son.
Definitely getting baptized.
Being able to go on a missions trip to Cambodia.
Being able to serve on the worship team.
I have best friends here.
Loving.
Warm.
Memorable.
Fun.
Involved.
La diversité.
God's family.
Kind.
Home.
Awesome.
Crazy.
Welcoming.
Community.
Awesome.
It's loving.
It definitely would be family.
Exciting.
Hospitality.
Family.
Comforting.
Loving and caring. Sorry, that's two, but.
Great. I believe it is good just to look back and reflect on God's faithfulness. God has been faithful in so many ways. And I believe we don't celebrate the past enough, really. When we look back, it should remind us of where God has brought us from and to keep things in perspective for today. While our church is far more than a building, never forget, we don't go to church. We are the church. When we look back, it reminds us to thank Him for His faithfulness here at Meadowbrook. Now, we look back, we look around. Without looking at multiple areas of life and ministry that make up the church, rather than looking at the many blessings and strengths of Meadowbrook, I want to focus on one real concern. And that concern is the next generation. Maybe more than any other time in the American church, there is an increasing burden, passion, and concern for the next generation. The younger generations of children and of youth and of young adults. Now, in my own personal life and ministry, I believe the Lord has burdened my heart regarding the faith and spiritual condition of our young people. Back in the Old Testament, we read about the destruction of Jerusalem back in 586 BC when the Babylonians invaded. And it destroyed Solomon's temple and the massive wall around the city. And under Zerubbabel's leadership, I like that name, Zerubbabel. Just feels good in your mouth, Zerubbabel. Under Zerubbabel's leadership, 50,000 returned to Jerusalem to undertake the immense task of rebuilding the temple. And more than 20 years later, the temple was completed. But the walls of the surrounding the city still laid in rubble. The conditions were a reproach to the Jewish people and their God. It would be like a beautiful sanctuary, a beautiful church like this, surrounded by a garbage dump. Nehemiah, who was in Persia, 1,000 miles away, heard about the condition of his homeland. And Nehemiah's heart was with his own people back in Jerusalem. So upon hearing the plight of his homeland, the crumbled down walls all around the temple, His heart was heavy. His heart was burdened. And he felt something. In fact, what he felt so deeply that he wept. He agonized and wept for days, the Bible says. He couldn't shake this burden and the concern for the broken down walls around the city and the people he cared about. And it ultimately led Nehemiah to return to Jerusalem to rebuild the walls. Now, in no way am I here saying I am like Nehemiah and that my concern and burden for the next generation matches the intensity of Nehemiah's heartbreak and burden he felt for the people of Jerusalem. But the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem began with a burden. The rebuilding of the walls began with a deep concern. But I do have a great concern and burden that we reach the next generation, because we cannot afford to lose a generation. We need to join our hearts, our prayers, and commitment and service to reaching young people. Several years ago, a Peace Corps worker wrote a children's book based upon her experiences in Africa. It tells the story of a young girl named Yemi, whose mother asked her to watch her brother, her baby brother, Kokau, on their trip to the market. Yemi was proud that she was able to have sole responsibility over her brother, and so they went to the market. And it wasn't long that they were there, and Yemi just looked one direction, and in just that moment, Kokau had left. He was nowhere to be found. And Yemi frantically searched the market for a lost brother, worried that he was hungry, he would be thirsty, or he would be tired or unsafe, because he never had a chance to be cared for. But we see that as he was out and then eventually found by Yemi. When Yemi found her brother, he was happy. He was well fed. He was rested. She hurried him back to their mother and told her how she had lost Kokau, and all the people of the village took care of him until she found him again. And Yemi's mother wasn't surprised at all. She looked at her daughter and she said, "What my mama told me, I will tell you. We don't raise our children by ourselves. It takes a village to raise a child." Friends, it takes a church to raise a Christ follower. We want to be that church. We're all in this thing together. No matter what our place in life is, we are all members of the body of Christ. We're a spiritual family, and we all should have children and teenagers in our lives. We all should share responsibility for passing faith on to the next generation. Look at these verses from Paul's letters to a young pastor named Timothy. We read in 2 Timothy 2:5, it says, "I have been reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois, and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you." Notice how faith in Jesus began with a woman named Lois, Timothy's grandmother. We don't know how she came to faith, but she was faithful, and she passed the baton of faith on to her daughter Eunice, who then handed off and passed her faith on to her son, Timothy. Three generations. But notice the particular kind of faith that was passed on. It was a sincere faith. Not just a religious belief. It wasn't just some kind of cultural Christianity, but it was real faith, life-saving faith, life-changing faith. Timothy was raised by a godly grandmother and mother and learned from them what real faith looked like. We are grateful for Pastor Aaron and Pastor John, grateful for their commitment to our children and our teenagers. We're grateful for Ron and Becky Janowski, who lead our college ministry called Fusion that meet weekly. We're grateful for humble and dedicated volunteers who serve, providing important teaching and mentoring and support and love to our kids. We're grateful for the Deacon Council, who believes we need to invest resources to help provide quality ministry to our young people. It's so important as grandparents and parents to show our love and to share our experience and pray they will have a significant spiritual encounter with God. George Barna, who is a market research firm director and founder of a research firm specializing in studying the religious beliefs and behavior of Americans, he reports that nearly half of today's teenagers say that they have no positive role model in their lives. You could be one of those role models to young children and young people in your family or your church. You can show them how the race is run. You can give them a head start on their spiritual journey by taking an interest in them, by sharing some of your time and your energy and your gifts with them, and by living a vibrant faith in front of them. Our move to Illinois 18 years ago was pretty difficult for our older son, Stephen. I remember how Stephen in ninth grade at that time was really struggling. In our temporary apartment, I remember hearing him on a cell phone in the bathroom talking to one of his friends back in Des Moines, Iowa, saying how really depressed he was. I still remember how my heart sunk over hearing those words that he shared with his friend. But Sunday after Sunday, I remember people here at Meadowbrook taking an interest in Stephen. As people met him in the hallway, they took an interest in his life. Older adults, younger adults, single, married. In those high school years in a new school, a new church, a new community were a pivotal time in his life. Stephen moved to Richmond, Kentucky, where he went to Eastern Kentucky University, and he and his wife that he met there, Anna Lee, are now faithfully serving, raising three children in the faith and serving in children's ministry and youth ministry in their church. But to this day, Stephen loves coming home and coming back to Meadowbrook to connect with the people who were there for him when he was in high school. Friends, let's serve. Let's pray. Let's get involved. Let's be a community of encouragement and faith for them. Let's be all in when it comes to reaching the next generation. But I also want to include not only our children, our youth, but I also want to include the next generation, which has reference to millennials as well. Young adults, they range in age from 18 to 34 years of age. It seems like some advice, some phone call, some video, some blog, some conversation, some article is coming across my desk every week with regard to concerns regarding the decline in church attendance across America, especially among the millennial generation. Every opportunity I have in our prayer meetings and in leadership meetings, I'm raising the awareness and the prayer concern for millennials. I raise this concern here this morning as well for millennials. Let's get acquainted with who they are.
millennials.
And what makes them tick?
Everyone wants to know.
Colleges, businesses, bosses, parents, marketers, churches.
Born between 1984 and 2000, most millennials today are in their 20s or early 30s.
It's a life stage that's undergone rapid shifts.
Many sociologists now call this time in life emerging adulthood.
People in their 20s today change jobs more often. They are delaying marriage, and they are less likely to have children.
In other words, they are taking longer to embrace the qualities once considered essential for adulthood: career, marriage, parenthood.
Here's what millennials say are the most important things to do before they turn the big 3-0. Become financially independent. Finish my education. Start a career. Find out who I really am. Follow my dreams.
Millennials are not just facing a redefinition of adulthood. They are also coming of age during an unprecedented technological boom that has redefined everyday life, putting all the best human inventions right in our pockets.
And they are grappling with sweeping redefinitions of authority and what the good life means. 3/4 of millennials agree that whatever is right for your life or works best for you is the only truth you can know. Half of millennials, more than any other generation, say moral truth is relative.
Millennials are the least likely generation to be attending church today. And when asked why they don't see it as important, most millennials said church just isn't relevant to them personally. For many millennials, church simply feels unnecessary to modern life. Much of what they might have wanted out of church, good teaching, good music, a social network, they can now find on their phones.
How does the church reach a group who isn't settling down, who isn't searching for moral authority, who is redefining almost every aspect of adulthood? By coming alongside them, they are looking for mentors, friends, and fellow sojourners.
There is a way to meet the needs and questions millennials are asking. It may require some difficult conversations. It won't always feel comfortable or safe or familiar. But the work is worth it. Millennials are worth it.
Tom Rainer, in his book, I Am a Church Member, wrote, about 2/3 of the builder generation, that is the generation that's born 1946 and earlier, basically those that are 70 years or so and older, that about 2/3 of them are Christians. Now, I think maybe that statistic might be a bit generous, but that is what the research shows. But there are far more Christians in the builder generation than there are in the millennial generation. If about, let's say, 60% or so of the builder generation is Christian, do you know what the percentage of millennials are who consider themselves to be Christians? That percent is 15. 15% of millennials are Christians here in America. The millennials are the largest generation in America's history, even bigger than the baby boomer generation that I'm a part of, with almost 80 million members. They were born between 1980 and 2000, and we have all but lost that generation. Now, we can blame it on the secular culture, and we often do, and I'm sure that's part of it. We can blame it on the godless politics of our nation, and we often do, and I'm sure that's part of it. We can blame it on the parents' inability to pass on faith to their children, and we often do, and I'm sure that that's part of it. We can even blame it on the churches, the hypocritical members, the uncaring pastors, and inability for the church to connect, and a lot of Christians are doing that. But I'm asking you this morning to join me in sharing this burden. I want you to share this burden for millennials and the next generation of children and youth with me. There are moms and dads in this church who are praying for a son or a daughter that has drifted. They have become disillusioned. They've become doubt-filled and cannot see the value of incorporating Christian faith into their daily life. Would you join me in loving and caring and praying and engaging and supporting each student and each young adult to take ownership of their faith. So it would not just be the faith of their grandparents or the faith of their parents, but it would be their own personal faith, their own personal encounter with God, a significant spiritual experience where they come to know that they know that they know that God is real and that God is with them. When we look back, it reminds us to thank God for the past and for his faithfulness at Meadowbrook. When we look around, it causes us to be concerned and burdened to pray and serve our young people. And thirdly, it should cause us to, as well, look ahead. Several months back, and one of our deacon council and pastors, after much thought, discussion, and prayer, drafted this vision statement to express our concern and vision for the next generation. This is where our heart's focus needs to be. This is who we need to passionately become. It's not that this is who we should be, but this is really who we must be. Let's look at this vision statement. Meadowbrook will be a gospel-centered, intergenerational church filled with passionate followers of Jesus Christ, committed to Christ-like maturity, actively engaging and leading the next generation in its journey of faith. I believe the Lord's church is an intergenerational church, a church with every generation valued and represented. Because the young need the older, and the older need the younger. This year and in the near future, we want to focus and be strategic on growing young. This means valuing our young families, young adults, youth, and kids. We value them with our time, with our finance, with our resources, our words, and our actions, and our attitudes. Growing young isn't about neglecting my generation and older, but it's about ensuring our legacy lasts beyond our lifetime. This is about older generations embracing our responsibility and passing on faith to the younger generations. This is about reaching the younger generation with the gospel and discipling and empowering them to grow in their faith and empowering them to lead. We must strengthen community among our young adults. We will commit to growing young by welcoming young people into a Jesus-centered way of life. We need to identify gaps in understanding how we can most effectively help them grow in their faith. We need to grow young by fueling a warm community. Young people are drawn to churches with a warm sense of community that is welcoming and it's accepting and it's authentic and it's caring. And simply by all of us giving our attention and showing love can make a significant difference. Through small groups and scheduled planned activities, we want to better facilitate warmth through peer friendship as well as intergenerational connections. And we need to unlock keychain leadership. This is a spirit and commitment to unleashing the capabilities and the potential of our young people and empower them to lead through training and equipping. Our hearts need to be filled with this intention and strategy. But we are also called to grow young by reaching, not only strengthening and reaching our young within the walls of Meadowbrook, but also we're called to reach out beyond the four walls and share the love of Christ with the younger generations as well. And certainly we do this by sharing Christ with those who are in our sphere of influence, our friends, our co-workers, those that are in our neighborhood. We can build a relationship with them, and we need to be ready to give an answer for the hope that lies within us. We also can reach out and serve our community as we do and as many are participating in various parachurch ministries like Fellowship of Christian Athletes, See You at Home, a homeless ministry, Salt and Light, reaching out to the less fortunate, and also Living Alternatives Crisis Pregnancy Center and others. But there is a specific focused outreach where we can reach out with the love of Christ to the next generation, to young children, to families, to single parents. In the last few months, our children's pastor, John Hales, has been developing a relationship with Kenwood Elementary School, a elementary school, public school, that's located right across Kirby Avenue, not too far from where we are in really this area of our community. And there is a growing sense that there is an open door for us as a church body to reach out and partner with them, with the administration, partner with the teachers, partner with children, partner with parents. I'd like for us to get acquainted with this school, if we could, for a moment.
Kenwood Elementary, just over the road from Kirby, and we are excited to tell you about an initiative that we've got coming up with Kenwood Elementary. This year, we want to focus on building relationships with the next generation outside in the community. And one way that we want to do that is by highlighting Kenwood Elementary. There's so many places and ways to serve, so many ways that you can bring light into dark places, into places where people are struggling, where kids are in need. There are so many ways that we can practically help and practically show the love of God.
Hi, I'm Trevor Nadrozny, and I am the principal here at Kenwood Elementary School. I wanted to extend my welcome to you as you, hopefully we look forward to a long relationship with your church. At Kenwood, we are a year-round school, so that's a little unique. The other thing that might be unique about Kenwood that you'd like to know is that we have a focus on coding. Starting in kindergarten all the way through fifth grade, we start our kids on learning how to code and program computers. One thing that I continue to see is level of poverty of kids needing, you know, whether it's coats, whether it's just someone to help them with homework or read with them. Any sort of support that we can get is very welcome. Okay, so one of the things that we really focus on Kenwood is an atmosphere and environment that is positive for all of our students. We do that by setting expectations for our students, so that's respect yourself, respect others, and being ready. And I think one of the things that we really try to instill in our students is empathy, making sure that students are striving to be their best, persistence, really trying to stick to the task, and collaborating with others. We look forward to hopefully continuing this relationship for a long time, and I'm very excited to be part of your partnership.
There's a growing burden and sense among the pastors and our local outreach team and deacons. There's this sense that, as Acts 15 talks about, it seems good to us and the Holy Spirit. There are a number of ways that we can reach out and build a relationship of service, relationship of care, relationship of love, and a relationship of trust over time. We want to be able to show ourselves to be there, not just here and then blink and we're gone, but be able to show truly that we care. I know we can show love and care and heart and service by mentoring, volunteering, working individually with students, helping assist teachers. We can come alongside and help help supply school uniforms and supplies for kids and families with need. We can help them with their carnival and with other activities. We can show acts of kindness to the teachers and staff. We can show love and support to single moms. There are just numerous opportunities that could open to us if we show love, compassion, and build a relationship of trust. Reaching out to our community in Champaign-Urbana can really sometimes just be so overwhelming, like so daunting. How can we, as a local church, make a difference in our community? How can we do this? The wall of this city is too big. The community is, the wall is too long around it. But I find Nehemiah's approach to building and rebuilding the wall in chapter 3 so reassuring and so encouraging and actually quite amazing, because the wall was built in 52 days. Now, we're talking about a time without heavy industrial equipment and electrical equipment to help. But Nehemiah was able to accomplish this feat by assigning different sections of the walls rebuilding to various groups, such as families and such as people from specific settlements and those with particular craftsman skills. Meadowbrook, we may not be able to build the whole wall here in Champaign-Urbana, but we can do a section of the wall. We may not be able to reach out to every elementary school in our city. We may not be able to reach out to every middle school and every high school here in Champaign and Urbana and surrounding areas. But we can attempt to make an impact at one school for the glory of God. And that is what we hope to do. And that is what I hope you will join us with. We want to be able to look back and thank God for his faithfulness here at Meadowbrook. We want to be able to look around and to remind ourselves to pray and to get involved and to serve and reach the millennial generation and those younger. And we need to look ahead to remind us how we need to trust him and how we need vision and heart and passion and concern for the future. What can we do? Well, I hope that all of you received this Vision Sunday piece. I think on our Sunday when we're involved here with our annual meeting and so forth, that you'll just find this to be an interesting piece to look at as to where we're at, who we are. But also, I want to just draw your attention to this Vision Sunday card. And I want to encourage and challenge you to see how you may get involved. If you could fill out this card and if you are able to mark, I'm interested in Meadowbrook Kids, or I'm interested in Meadowbrook Youth, Meadowbrook Young Adults. I'm interested in Kenwood Elementary Outreach, whatever it might be. And then we will have some baskets at the back and encourage you on your way out to just drop this in. Maybe you're not quite ready today to make a check. First of all, you're not just signing your life away here right now and saying, well, I have to rethink this. But maybe you do want some time to think about it and bring it back. But I want to encourage you to consider involvement. I want you to also to know about a volunteer informational meeting next Sunday, right here after the second service. This will be a 30-minute meeting to hear about the opportunities, ways to serve at Kenwood, and also focused on volunteering with teachers, opportunity to fill out a background check that will be needed to be involved there at the school. Then also, there are mentoring meetings, we can let you know more about that information if you are interested. But I want to just challenge you to get involved and pray and have heart to reach our young people and to reach this generation of millennials that so need the gospel of Christ. Let's be a people who are looking ahead with God's help to what he can do to impact the next generation for the glory of God. Would you stand with me, please? I just would like for you in the next couple moments to just pray with me. Just pray with me about children, teenagers, young adults. Lord, I want to thank you for your heart. Your heart that has reached out to us, drawn us into a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord, for entrusting children and youth to us. Oh, I pray, God, that every single one of the children here at Meadowbrook, every teenager, will grow to know who you are, a revelation of Jesus Christ that will transform their heart. I pray, God, for a spiritual encounter, for a spirit-led, the spirit-impactful encounter with you that will cause them to know that they are a new person in Christ. Old things pass away. Behold, all things become new. Oh, I pray, Lord, that you would cause every one of our young people to be on that journey of faith. There would not be one that would be left behind. There would not be one that would be found missing. Lord, I pray for our young adults as well. We pray, God, for those that are so in need of a personal relationship with you. Lord, whether they have had a relationship with you and have drifted, or whether they have not yet come into faith, we pray, Lord, for the millennial generation. We pray, Lord, for young adults, married and single, that God, you would impact their lives. You would touch them. You would help them, Lord, to experience the life-changing work of God in their heart that will direct the rest of their lives. Oh, Lord, we pray for your encounter. Help us, Lord, as a church to strengthen the next generation. And help us, Lord, to reach out to Kenwood Elementary and the community that make up that school, the children, the teachers, the parents. Lord, I'm sure that there's resistance, and I'm sure, Lord, that the enemy will want to come against this in every way possible. But God, I pray that you would help your people to be a people of love and engaged, God, in a way that will be able to let those who are part of that school know that we are Christians by our love. God, that there would be ways in which we can have personal encounter, personal relationship with a mom, with a dad, with a child, Lord, with a teacher. Oh, Lord, we pray as we come into this with a heart of service, with a heart of love, that you, God, would use it to the glory of your great name. Oh, I pray that you would bless and strengthen us as we move forward in 2018. May every home, every household here be blessed and impacted by your grace. In Jesus' name we pray. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's just offer ourselves to the Lord here as we conclude our service in prayer and in song.